And on the podcast as well. Really glad to have you all here this morning. There's an old saying that's famously attributed to an old church father. His name is St. Francis of Assisi. You might have heard it. In fact, I bet many of you have. He's known for having spoken these words, words which still carry on in conversation today. Here's what he said. He said, "Preach the gospel," which is the good news about Jesus Christ. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words." It says, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." I like that. And if there's any merit to those words, which I think there is, if there's any merit to those words, then God's plan and our role within it to spread the good news about Jesus, to reach more people for Jesus, to be a blessing to people, which is what we have been talking about, that plan continues to be a whole lot easier and a whole lot more doable than we think. If there is truth to those words, then this plan that we are a part of continues to be a whole lot easier and a whole lot more doable than we think. Because I think that too often we get the wrong idea about this kind of work, this kind of mission. When we boil it down, this kind of work is often considered to be the work of evangelism. Spreading the good news about Jesus, working to make sure that people hear and are impacted by the good news of Jesus. But most of us don't have a great concept all the time of what that really means and what that means for us. We assume that it means, you know, if we're going to do this kind of work, we assume it means we have to stand on big stages, or we've got to, you know, like force the Bible into people's faces and force God down their throats. Neither is true. Neither of these is true in order for this plan of God's to unfold, for more people to hear and to be impacted by the good news of Jesus. So this whole series that we're calling Plan A, because this is God's Plan A, and right now there really is no Plan B, right? This whole series is designed to give us a better handle of what it really means, what it really looks like for you and for me to spread the good news, to share the good news about Jesus with every person on the planet. And if I'm honest, I think we're living in a day right now when more and more people in our lives are simply in need of some good news. And we can be about that. We can be all about bringing good news into their world. That's God's mission. That's God's plan. That's his mission, and it's really our mission as well. And I think that God has a particular strategy in mind when it comes to this mission, when it comes to this plan for the world. This is what we've been talking about. It's a strategy of blessing people. No, it's not a strategy of converting people, but it's a strategy of being a blessing to people. That's what God wanted and wants from his people. It's what God has wanted from his people from the very beginning. We've been reading this. Here's what God told Abraham from the very beginning. Abraham's known as like the father of our faith. Here's what he told Abraham. He said, "I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And I like to think so that you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so that you would then be a blessing to the world, a blessing to the nation." That's what God wants from you and I, too. That's why he's given us what he has. That's why he's provided for us the way that he has, so that we could then be a blessing to people around us, that we would find our place in this greater plan to see that more and more people hear and experience good news. It's not scary. It's not hard. It's not work for only pastors or for really, 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 really spiritual people. It's as simple, it's as easy, it's as everyday as being a blessing to people in our lives, investing well into people, neighbors, coworkers, friends, family members. It's as easy as being a blessing in their life. What does that look like? That's what we've been talking about. We broke it into five simple practices that we can incorporate into our everyday lives. Each of these easy practices represented by a letter in the word or the acronym BLESS, right? That's the plan. That's the strategy, that we would be a blessing to people. We hope this creates an easy way for you to remember this kind of strategy. So this whole plan, to step into God's plan, to be a part of God's plan. This whole plan begins, if you weren't here, we'll get you up to speed. This whole plan begins in your life and in my life when we simply, here's the B, we begin with prayer. right? We pray for people in our lives who might be far from God, asking questions about God. It's simple prayers. We just ask God, God, how could I show up in their life? How could I be a blessing to these people? You might think, oh, I'm not that good at praying. It's easy. You just say, God, who and where, when would I be able to show up in their lives? And if and when we pray those kind of prayers, then we got to stay on the lookout, because we said that it's what we pray for that tells our eyes what to look for. So we begin with prayer. Next, here comes the L. We have to learn to listen with purpose, right? To listen for evidence of God's work in people's lives, to listen for their hopes and their dreams, to listen to what it is that they really need, what it is they're really saying, to listen to what it might be that would really make a huge difference in their life. And to do this, we said that oftentimes we have to listen with our hearts and our eyes and not just our ears. Right, it's listening with real purpose. So begin with prayer. We listen with purpose. And then last week, we talked about the massive impact that is possible when we eat together. Right, that there's something powerful that happens when we invite people around the table with us. The lunch table in high school or at the office workroom, or when we invite people to the dinner table in our homes. We send a powerful message when we invite people to sit around the table with us. We invite people who are far from God. We invite people who maybe have questions about God, or who are in need of good news, or who maybe are just in need of some good company showing up in their life. We invite them around the table with us. I said that some of the greatest stories, this is the truth, some of the greatest stories in the Bible, some of the greatest stories in the world today, stories of impact, stories of life change, stories of new beginnings, they all begin around the table, right? That there is massive impact to be made when we find simple ways to eat together. So begin with prayer. We listen with purpose. We eat together. That brings us to today, the next piece in this plan to spread the good news, to be good news, or to be a blessing to more people around us, which is this. The first S is this, to serve with love. To serve people with love. I'm not talking about serving in a restaurant. I'm not even talking about serving in the church, although I think that's an incredible way to find more purpose and more connectivity, you know, when you give back your time to the places you're connected. But I'm not even talking about that today. I'm not talking about serving a volleyball or even serving dinner. That was last week. What I'm talking about is finding ways to serve people in your life, meaning finding ways to attend to some real needs. Attending to real needs, the real needs of your neighbors or your coworkers, of your family or your friends. Serving people with love, serving people with care, serving people well is simply finding ways that you can meet and attend to real needs that they might have. If I'm honest, I think that the world needs to see more of this from Christians right now. I think that's what the world needs to see. I think it goes in shifts and trends about how Christians are perceived and their kind of place in the world. And right now, this is just me. I think that we're living in a time when the world just needs to see more Christians acting like Christians, right? Loving one another, serving one another, doing good or promoting good or championing good for one another, for their neighbor. Right now, I don't think the world needs to see more criticism. I don't think it needs to see more finger pointing or more judgment or more protests or more debate and disagreement and all that stuff. Some of this is not bad. I'm just saying right now, I think the world just needs to see more love on display from Christians who claim to know and follow Jesus, right? Just needs to see more love on display in small, everyday acts for neighbors and family and friends from those of us who know and follow Jesus, right? It's just finding simple, practical ways to meet the needs of people around you, people in your life every day. And I think that that kind of work speaks louder, speaks incredibly louder than anything you or I might ever say. And so I want us to figure out how you and I might speak with that kind of volume in our lives. And I think it has something to do with how well we serve people around us. Maybe you have serving people who are far from God, who may not know the good news of Jesus. throughout this whole series. Jesus should be no surprise here. Jesus has been the model. He's been the example of how to do all these things well, and the same is true for how we serve others well. Jesus is the model. He's a great example. And there's one story that I want us to look at today. There's a bazillion stories of how he does this well, but there's one story of Jesus and his ministry and his serving others that I want us to look at today because I think it gives us some key insight on how we might do this well. If we read between the lines a little bit, I think it gives us some key insight on how we might do this, how we might serve well, care for people well in our lives. Here's the story. It comes from the book of Mark in chapter 7, starting in verse 31. It says this. It says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people," here's what I want us to see, "there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ear, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which meant, 'be opened.' And at this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept on talking about it." And it says people were overwhelmed with amazement. Here's what I want to do. I want to backtrack. I want to unpack this story a little bit. And as we do, I think we'll discover four words that I think help us to understand how we might serve people well in our lives. That first word is this: proximity. Right? Notice who it is that Jesus served here in this moment. Verse 32 says, "Some people brought to him." They brought to him a man who was deaf. Most often that the people that Jesus served were people right in front of him. They were people near to him. They were in close proximity to him, whether it was people in need of healing, people that had surrounded him and started to press in on him in the crowds, or whether it was his own disciples who time and time again he found ways to serve them. Time and time again it was people that were near to him that he served. And I think so often we think that serving people and making an impact in this way, we assume that that only happens, you know, when we, you know, travel across the world to, you know, places where we don't speak the language, where there's no cell service, and the, you know, the food kind of freaks us out, and it's there that we find, you know, people for us to serve. Now, I'm not suggesting that there aren't people in places across the world for us to serve where we can make an impact. I look forward to the day when we can send teams from Midcurrent Church to make a global impact. I really do. I just don't want us to make the mistake in assuming that the only people that could benefit from our willingness to serve are people across the world. Right, I think sometimes the people who will benefit most are the people, not that live across the world, but that the people that live just across the street. Right, as coworkers in the office right across the hall. Right, as classmates whose desks are right across the room. Will God ever, you know, send us across the world to serve people? Yeah, he absolutely will. I hope more and more of us get a chance to do God's work on a global stage. Absolutely. Maybe he'd send you for a year. Maybe he'd send you for 20 years. Maybe just a week. I don't know. But will God also send people to you for you to serve and to be a blessing to? The answer is always and emphatically yes. Almost without exception, I think the people that we are meant to serve the most are people in close proximity to us, people right around us, the people in our sphere of influence every day. All right, so who is that for you? Who comes to mind? Who's in your world? Who's in your life every day? Who would benefit from God's love on display through your acts of kindness in service? Serve people in close proximity to us. The second word is this. I like this one. The second word is perceptively. That Jesus served this man quite perceptively. Verse 33 says this. It says that Jesus took him aside. He took him aside away from the crowd. Why was this significant? Why was it really necessary? Jesus had done, you know, public healings many times before. So why not now? Well, what changed? What's different? Why not do that now? I think it's because he's perceptive. The Bible says that this guy brought to him was deaf, and he had a severe speech impediment. So more than likely, this guy knows what it's like to be made fun of, to be made a spectacle of. So just imagine how he was probably mocked, made fun of, laughed at for much of his life, right? Kids can be cruel. Sometimes I think adults can be even worse. So I just imagine that every time this man, you know, tried to speak in fractured garbled words, he just drew more and more attention to his disability. And so this is my favorite part about the story. Jesus seems to be in tune with this. And he refuses to make a spectacle of this guy's condition. Right? He doesn't want to turn his ministry into some kind of three-ring circus. Like, yeah, you know, come, you know, watch Jesus heal this, you know, one-eyed monster. He refuses to turn his ministry into some kind of spectacle, some kind of three-ring circus. So it says he took him aside. He took him away from the crowd. Jesus is serving this dude perceptively. I like that. I think there are people in our lives who need us to serve them, to care well for them in ways that don't, you know, draw more attention to the situation that they're in, that don't bring more attention, more embarrassment to the place they find themselves. Just imagine the compassion that could be unleashed from us. Just imagine the compassion that could sweep across our community and our schools and our neighborhoods if we aim to serve people in our life as perceptively as this. Right? Is it possible that there are people in close proximity to you, people in your everyday life that need this kind of attention from you? Jesus served perceptively, and I think we can do the same. The next word is this: personally. Jesus served this guy very personally. In the story, it says this. It says that Jesus looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he cried out, "Be opened." Right? In the original language that this was first ever recorded for us, the word for deep sigh is used five times in the New Testament. The word that was used, it was a word that it wasn't just like a sigh like we think of, you know, like some kind of like deep breath or some kind of confusion or something like that. Every time, the five times that this word was used, it was used to communicate a deep sigh being like a real groan, expressing real deep grief. You might call this empathy. In my mind, I feel like it's empathy, right? Jesus wasn't some cold, he wasn't some robotic, he wasn't some impersonal miracle worker. Just, you know, everywhere he went, cranking out random acts of kindness, right? He feels this guy's pain. And so in yelling out like this, he's acknowledging, you know, he's feeling it in his gut. He's acknowledging like this, you know, this sucks. Right, I think he feels this guy's pain. And I think if we're going to serve people well, we have to be able to feel their pain. We got to feel their grief. We got to be able to step into their lives, step into their anxiety, step into their world, step into whatever it is that's happening in their life. We have to serve people in this way. Serving people will be personal. Finally, the last one here, I think we see that Jesus served people powerfully. And I hope we see that we can do the same. And by powerfully, I mean that he called on and he accessed and he tapped into a greater power. It was God's power. Before Jesus cried out, "Be opened," it says that he looked up to heaven. Throughout the Bible, the times when Jesus looked up to heaven, it was synonymous with him calling on God's power, right? He does the same thing in a story I'm sure you're familiar with, right? Feeding the 5,000. He took the food and he looked up to heaven. It was synonymous with him calling on God's power, saying, "God, you take it from here," right? Showtime, God, you make it happen. The same thing is happening here. He knows that he's operating with the power from the big guy. And we should too. We need to know that the same thing is possible for us. We need to start to operate with the understanding that we can tap into that same kind of power. I know that seems like a bold statement. You know, we're not Jesus. You know, we're not doing miracles. All that's very true. But look what Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." This might be intimidating that we could or that we should or that we're supposed to kind of tap in to that kind of power. But if Jesus said it's possible, I believe it. And so for those of us who believe in him, let's not be afraid to call on, to lean on, to tap into God's power for people in our life who may need it. Right? The result may be that the same as the story we heard, it ended saying people were overwhelmed with amazement. Right, you never know where God might be at work. You never know in whose life God might be at work. You never know who might be left saying, "Whoa, your God must be real. Because of what I just saw, because of your prayers for this, because of your prayers for that, and because of what happened in my life." You never know what person might be going, "All right, your God has to be real." Right, you'll never know the impact that you could have. You'll never realize that the blessing that you could genuinely be in someone's life unless you make it a regular thing, a rhythm in your life to serve people with love, to serve people with care, and to care for people well, and to serve people. It's serving people that are in close proximity to you, to serve them perceptively, to serve them personally, and to serve them powerfully. Now, I hope this gives you these four things. I hope it just gives you an idea, maybe just a better handle of what it might be like to serve people well in your life with these four things. But what I hope that it doesn't do, I hope that it doesn't overwhelm you. You're, you know, perceptively, powerfully, personally, I hope that it doesn't overwhelm you. Because the truth is, all these four things and the other ways that we'd serve people, all of it can be done. All of these things can be done in the most simple ways, the most simple everyday living. And that's what this whole series is all about. I hope you're seeing that more and more. Hope you're seeing that being an impact player in God's plan, it isn't as hard as we think it is. It's not as scary or as intimidating as we often make it out to be, right? Making a lasting impact, maybe even making an eternal impact, it can happen simply when we invest well into the lives of our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our family. It doesn't have to take anything more than our intention to be a blessing to people by the way that we serve them with our lives. A colleague of mine, his name is Alex Rahill. He's actually now the national director of the network of church plants that we're a part. He was once the pastor and a church planting pastor in the Detroit area. And on a number of different occasions, I've had the chance to learn from Alex, to hear him teach about, you know, church planning, ministry, and all that. And on a number of occasions, I've heard him talk about the power of serving people well around you. He had a firsthand experience of this in his own life and in his own ministry in the church with an old neighbor of his. It was an older woman that he describes as being kind of crass. Had a bit of an intimidating vibe to her, not a church-going lady, and she made it very clear that she was not. And she lived across the street. One day from inside of his house, this guy, Alex, he heard some screaming coming from outside. It was coming from across the street. And so, of course, he went out to see what was happening. And what he saw was this older woman, this neighbor of hers, she had fallen flat on her back. She was taking the garbage out to the curb, and she had slipped and fallen. And so Alex was there to help her out as best as he could. He was there to learn that she would ultimately be out of commission for a little while. And so he decided that he was going to make it his job to bring her garbage out to the curb and back every week. He figured, easy. He figured this is a way where he can meet the real practical needs of someone in his life. And so he made sure that it was his job to bring her garbage out to the curb and back. He figured, this is easy for me to do. And so he did. But he wouldn't be the only one. Surrounding this woman's house was actually a number of other families who had attended Alex's church in the Detroit area. It was people that knew that it was their mission to care well for people, people that knew that it was their mission to find ways to serve other people well in their life. And so these neighbors, these other families, they started to pitch in. And so what started as taking the garbage can to the curb and back every week, it actually turned into Life Church members. That's the name of the church they attended. It actually turned into more and more members and neighbors in that church starting to care for this woman's yard, helping with some odd jobs around her house. And then one guy, even in particular, he started to do some like semi-major repair work on some deteriorating parts of her house. There's some pieces that were falling apart, and he was a handyman, and so he kind of made it his job to go and see to these things, attend to these pieces of her house that needed some attention. And the relationship with this woman would go on for a while, and there'd be all sorts of crazy stories about their investment and their involvement in her life. But eventually, it would lead to some pretty cool stories to be told. Eventually, it would actually lead to this woman being one of the very first contributors to a building campaign that they had just started. I believe that this contribution of hers happened at a time when she was still saying, I ain't setting foot in your church. But one day she called Alex over and she handed him a check. And he said, what's this for? And she said, you're building a new building, right? She said, here you go. She was one of the first people to contribute to that building. Eventually, and to Alex's utter shock and amazement, one day in church, he's doing his thing, mingling with people in the lobby, and out of the corner of his eye, coming through the front door, he sees this woman. He sees this neighbor of his walking in through the front door, foul language and all, he tells. She came walking in to the front door. Eventually, she'd give her life to Jesus Christ, and she would become a raving, raving fan of Life Church in Canton, Michigan. It's a pretty cool story that Alex tells a lot better than I do, but it begs the question, what happened? I mean, what made the difference? At a certain point in their relationship, this woman, even while she was still uninterested in church, she would confide in Alex. She'd have a conversation with him, and almost begrudgingly, Alex will talk about, almost begrudgingly, she would admit that she started to realize that like half the neighborhood went to his church. And she'd say to Alex, some of these people in this neighborhood and the people that go to your church are some of the nicest people, some of the greatest people that I have ever known. Folks, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Mother Teresa. You don't have to be Tim Tebow or Super Bowl winning Nick Foles to have an impact on people. You don't have to be any of these things to have an impact, to make sure that more and more people in your life or more and more people in the world are impacted with the good news of Jesus. All you got to do is take your elderly neighbor's trash out to the curb and back every week. Right, shovel the driveway for the single mom who lives next door. Cut the grass and make dinner. Stock the fridge for the family who just spent all week in the hospital with their aging parents or their kids who just got the worst diagnosis. Buy lunch or buy coffee for the coworker that just got hammered on by the boss or just got demoted or just got let go. Send flowers, make a card, babysit the kids for the young, new sleep-deprived parents who need to go on a date. Maybe you pay for them to go out for dinner. I don't know. I could go on and on and on having fun dreaming about the ways that we could care well, that we could serve other people in our life. But I'll stop right there and just say this. God has a plan. He really does. He has a plan to draw people back to him. He has a plan for good news to spread like wildfire. And you and I are a part of that plan right now. It is his plan A, and right now there is no plan B. We just got to find ways to serve people well, to show up, to be the physical presence of good news in their life, to be just a little bit of light in a whole lot of darkness. So let's be people then. Let's be people who preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. Let's preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Those times will come. Those moments will come around. But until they do, let's serve people in our everyday life, our neighbors, our friends, our family, our coworkers. Let's serve people in our life with a whole lot of love. Let me pray for us. God, we just pray that you would help us to see the moments and help us to see the people where we could do these things. God, I really do believe that you have empowered us, that you have sent us to be good news in the world and in the lives of people around us, God. I just pray that you would help us to have eyes to see the places and to see the people that we can serve, God, to see the places where we can have an impact. God, it's pretty cool to think of the stories that could be told, not for the sake of storytelling, God, but for the sake of people being drawn back to you, God, for the sake of people understanding your incredible love for them and why people in their life keep reaching out. So God, I pray that you would help us to find ways to do this, God, that you would help us to develop the rhythm, to make this into just kind of a little bit of a habit or a natural part of our life, to have eyes that are constantly looking for people and for places that we can serve well, people that we can care for in small, everyday ways. And God, we pray that the effect might just be crazy, God, that it might be a ripple effect starting here with us and rippling on out into the communities where we live, into the places of work that we represent and the families that we lead and the neighborhoods that we're a part of, God. We pray that we might have a huge impact on the world around us and the people that are in our sphere of influence, God. We don't have to go to the places far away to have this kind of impact, God. We can do it with the people who are right around us, right inside of our own sphere of influence each and every day, God. So help us to find the places to do that. We ask for your help in these things, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.